This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswine on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com. Here's your host, Lisa Jesswine.
Hey, everybody. Happy Thursday. Do you ever wonder why certain people show up in your life, or maybe why you choose a certain partner, why certain coworkers are a thorn in your side, why your adorable pet always makes you feel so good and almost like a family member to you? Well, there's reasons why we choose those that are in our life. And author and life coach Lisa Thal has written a book, Why I Choose You, Understand Why You Choose Those in Your Life. Because, you know, we always yell out every once in a while, why? Right? We want to know both the good and the bad of why these people in our life. So, Lisa, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for including me today.
Not a problem. Well, through reading Lisa's book, one of the things I found out is that we actually have a lot in common. And the first thing, the obvious, our name. The second thing, we are both twins.
Oh, so, love it.
Love that. Okay, so let's, just because I can, because it's my show, I want to know about why some people choose certain family members, including, you know, our siblings, and especially that twin bond. Does that exist for you and your twin?
Yes, it does. Actually, I'm 5 minutes older than my twin, so I don't know where you fall into that, whether you're older or younger.
3 minutes younger.
Okay, great. Awesome. So what, if you think about it, our family is our first teachers we're exposed to. I mean, it starts with our parents at birth, and those are our teachers that we learn from first and foremost, but then our siblings. So I'm from a very large family, and there's times where I'm like, how can they be my brother or sister? I have nothing in common with these people. They're almost like strangers, right? And I have more in common with my friends than I do my siblings. And I found that to be even so with my twin sister, Lynn. So as I discovered different brothers and sisters in my life, I started thinking, why did I choose them? Like, what was the reason as to why I chose them? What was the lesson I was supposed to learn? And I had a similar experience with my twin sister. Twins, grew up at the same time, exposed to the same thing. And what I found was we were completely different in many things, from the number of friendships we had to our interest in life. And we had all those differences that we learned from each other, but there was still that common connection as a sibling. I don't know if you experienced that at all with your twin.
Oh yeah, because we're very close. I always say she's my right arm and my left kidney, because she did save my life and give me a kidney. So she is literally a part of me. But her way of approaching situations are slightly different than mine. And I know in your book you talked about one of you was more like a, I don't want to say friend collector, but you had a lot of friends and the other was a little more choosy.
Yeah, that's, yes, exactly. So my sister Lynn would always say, who's your friend of the week, Lisa? Who's your friend of the week? And she would be irritated by that. It's like, but I love meeting new people and discovering so many things. Well, I had 10 friends. She always had one. So we just approached life differently. Like you said, she would rather have all her energy tied into one person, where I loved meeting so many different people because I learned so many different things from them. So we'd always just kind of, she'd always make a little fun at me with that. But, and we talk about it now, even as adults, I have so many friends where she still centers her belief around one or two friends. We just do life differently.
Absolutely. And one of the things I love about your book is because this is about not staying shackled to our DNA. So, for example, if there was someone in your family that was not the best person or the kindest person, which you experienced, Lisa, because you talk a lot about your father, and you come from that DNA, why did you call that person to you, and are you going to end up like them?
Yeah, that's, so in the book, I talk about my father, and I came to realize he just really wasn't a nice man. I mean, he had, you know, he was angry a lot. He was quite selfish, didn't have a lot of friends, didn't show a lot of love. He was very consumed in his own life. And through my self-discovery, as I was becoming a life coach and thinking about my own relationships, there was always anger and conflict with my dad. And it didn't have to be that way. So as I was thinking about our relationship, I had this aha moment that went, oh my God, that's why I chose you. From a spiritual sense, because my father was that way, I chose to go a different way. So where he didn't show a lot of love, I had a lot of love. Where he didn't value relationships, they meant everything to me. My friendships were everything to me. And instead of being angry at him and disappointed, I learned to accept that on a level, a spiritual level, he was there at that moment to teach me that I don't have to be like him, that I do have a choice in people I choose in my life. And instead of being angry, I turned to love for him and forgiveness, and just learned probably more from him because we were more opposite than I was with my mother.
Okay, and I want everyone to understand, and if you read the book, Why I Choose You, you'll find out there was emotional abuse, correct?
Correct.
And was there any physical abuse?
There was, yes, for me and many of my siblings, yes.
So when you grow up in an environment like that, and that's the relationship that you have, you talked a little bit, too, about the fact that, well, your mother was in that household as well, but she chose love to put towards you children, and your
yes.
dad chose the opposite. So your siblings and you could have chose one or the other to pattern after.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So I want people to understand when Lisa's talking about, you know, the choices that you make, you can pull out of that victimhood. You don't have to stay in there just because you were raised in that environment. And this brings to mind what people are probably thinking. Well, then why the heck would I choose these painful or challenging relationships, whether they be in family or friendships? And, oh, we'll get to coworkers, trust me. But why would people choose that?
Well, that's a great question. And when I coach people, they ask the similar question. And in some cases, it may be a lesson for that person, not for us, but we're exposed to it. So what I mean by that, for example, my father, nobody would ever choose an abusive father. None of us would go, oh my God, I think I would love to choose an abusive father.
Right.
But it happens in our lifetime, and we look and go, well, we don't have to live that life. And we can choose differently. And that was the whole premise of the book, was as I met with people and through self-discovery, that sometimes that abuse really isn't about us. That was about my dad and his anger and how he displayed it. It really had nothing to do with me, even though I was a part of the end of the anger and abuse. And that we can learn from every relationship we're in. If we take the time to look at past and current relationships, we discover insights and patterns of behavior, and it's a deep well of information that we can go a different way. But nobody goes out to choose bad relationships, abusive relationships. But if we're open to at that time, what could we take away? What could we learn that is more about us? What did we learn from that relationship? Was it something we wanted, or could, when we look forward, kind of gain something different in that next relationship? I don't know if that makes sense to you or not.
It does. And what I'm going to add to that is all of those questions are wonderfully valid and eye-opening. A person has to be in the right frame of mind in order to digest that and answer those questions. Because if someone has been hurt, right, we sit in anger.
Yeah.
And we wallow around in there for a while. So if someone came peppering me with questions about what can you learn, I'd be like, I don't know. I'm really angry right now. So allow yourself that moment to go ahead and have your tantrum. And then I want you to pick up Lisa's book, and I want you to look at what she calls her reflections, which are these wonderful questions that she's asking, so that you can answer them in your own time and in your own way. Because, and the reason I'm bringing this up, Lisa, is because that is actually the reaction I had when I was reading a certain portion, and then it got to one of the reflections where it starts asking all these questions, and I literally slammed the book shut and said, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because it brought something up in me that said, I'm not quite ready to explore the reason behind that. I'm still hurting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that all sound like, I mean, I know.
Oh, it's so common.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm so glad. I mean, you know, what you experienced, Lisa, with that book is what many people have shared with me that have already read the book and received the gift from it. So some people, we just want to move on. We want to just, let me just put it in this place, but they never deal with it. And it does, you know, certain things that happen in our life, if we just take the time to understand them, we can move forward. It doesn't mean that we always have to forgive what that person did, but we just have a better understanding. And that's what I found when I was coaching people is people want answers now. Mm-hmm. In the technology world, we want to hurry up and get the answers. But when it comes time to stop and think about ourselves, which is so critical, that reflection time, and you take time to understand and write it down, it actually empowers you. So most people would shut the book versus going, I got this. I want to know the answers because I deserve to know the answers, and I want to move forward. I want to feel empowered. And I know that's what your show's about. Your show's about real life. This is real life stuff. And it's straight talk. And why not have that conversation with yourself? Mm-hmm. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We all choose people in our lives that aren't always amazing experiences. It's the ones that sort of hurt us that we hold on to, and that kind of shackles us from moving forward.
Absolutely. I say absolutely a lot because there's a lot of absolutelys in this book that I go, oh yeah. This is hitting home for me. There's another similarity that we have that as I was reading through this book, I went, oh my gosh, I can't wait to talk to this woman. You had a, I believe, 32-year friendship that ended, and I had a 20-year friendship that ended.
Wow.
And mine ended through an email tirade saying what a horrible person I am. And yours ended with somebody who couldn't handle the fact that you chose something that was better for your career. And I found that very interesting about the way you dissected that. So talk about that a little bit, about lifelong friendships that suddenly just go poof.
Yeah, and you know what? That's so weird that our lives are so aligned. So in that relationship, friendship of 30 plus years, always supported that person. And actually, I talk about in the book that this person was more like a twin, a sister, than my own siblings were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we shared everything, that one friendship that you always turned to that you could count on. Well, I had been that for this person for many years, obviously until the time came where I had an opportunity to get promoted. And I took that promotion, and my best friend was my boss. So I had to really sit and reflect, like, how do I navigate this? Because I'm really excited. I've always supported this person. I have this great opportunity at this job promotion. And I wanted to tell this person in person, but didn't, you know, had to think of him as my boss, but also my friend. And so when we met and I told the person, hey, I'm real excited about this opportunity, I told the person in hope that they'd be happy, and I didn't get the response I was hoping for. And it was a little disappointment, and pretty much our conversation was over in about 5 seconds. And letting go of that friendship was one of the hardest things I had to do. And understanding, you know, through anger and disappointment, I was there for that person. And when I needed that person there to cheer me on, they pretty much shut the door. And what I realized was, I became codependent on that friendship, and that was probably my biggest self-discovery, but it was literally one of the hardest things I had to work through. It was like a death, really. I had talked to this person every day. I was the godmother of her children. I was a maid of honor. Our family were friends.
Right.
And when I came to realize that that person at this time, it was time for us to, that some friendships, they just end. And if you can recognize and wish the best for him, which I ended up doing, I kind of went through a process of anger and disappointment, probably like you did.
Yeah.
And then I turned that anger into really love and respect and went, I love that person. I really want the best for him. But at this time, the universe has other plans for me. So I need to accept what that was, send love to that person, wish the best for him. And I need to move forward because that was keeping me back.
Well, we need to respect their right to move forward. And if they feel that ending the friendship is what will help them move forward, then we have to respect that.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And I was able to do that. And we both have love for each other. We're just not in each other's daily lives anymore, which is fine. There's other people that are coming into our lives that we need to be open to understanding why we are choosing these people. There's so many lessons everywhere around us, as you know.
Yeah. And some of those big lessons that I've learned maybe within the past like 6-7 years have to do with coworkers.
Oh, so, yeah.
Everybody's got maybe one or two that, you know, maybe at the outset seemed like it was going to be this great, oh, hey, we're buddies, we're this. And then like the claws come out, or you get stabbed in the back, or why do we have difficult coworkers in our lives?
So I love this, and everybody listening, I know that loves and listens to your show, Lisa, has the coworker at work that goes, why do I get along with this coworker? It's so easy for the conversation. But this one, oh, they drive me crazy. I'm just cringing every time I see them. And so what it is, you know, in most of us like people, we're more alike. So the whole phrase of like attract likes obviously exists. But when you have someone, for example, if you're an expressive and we're a little bit of an expressive and amiable, we love to get along, we're very outgoing, and then we meet the analytic. The analytical person that sits and needs every little detail drives us crazy. We just want to, let's get to it. Can we get to the answers? Let's go. But the analytic can't do that. They don't process things that way. So for them to be like us, it's very difficult. But if you sit back and go, you know what? I could probably learn something. Instead of me rushing through and let's do this and hurry up and come on, rah, 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 and take the time to slow down and understand somebody else's thought process, we can learn a lot from them. And the biggest extreme would be maybe an analytic that needs processes. They don't want to make any recommendations or say anything until they fully have done the numbers and understand it. Well, that drives somebody like me crazy. I want answers now. I can't speed it up.
We share that in common too, Lisa.
Yeah, so I'm like, let's go sometime this year, please. So when we are able to understand, I've learned to kind of slow down and went, analytics are really great people because they have processes and then they've got the numbers. So they can show if we do this and this, we can expect this. So they don't lead with emotion. They lead more with facts and metrics. So I find now where analytics used to drive me crazy with all the data points, now I look at them differently and I'm like, what would you think about this? Now I see myself going to them because I know I'm going to have a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's really helped me in my career managing and helping understand people that process and need data points versus just emotion. And it's really made a difference on how I look at all the people I work with. I don't really have any anger. I actually look at them differently, like every employee I work with, I can learn something from. And I see that as a gift now, not something that would aggravate me.
Oh, I love that. I bet that aggravates other people, though.
Oh, yeah. And until they can understand, they're like, I can't stand this person one more time. Get them away from me.
Boy, it is, especially, you know, because most people spend more time with coworkers than they do their own family sometime.
Yeah, that's true. That's our work family. Yeah, that you're exactly right.
You know, and so lessons learned there, lessons learned with our family, with our friends, but also with our furry little loved ones.
Our little fur kids.
Fur kids. Do you believe we call certain animals to us to sort of experience certain things?
I do. I'm a big believer in pets really teach us a lot of lessons, and they have their own little souls. I mean, you know, we are all energy. We're energy in a human shell. Well, there's energy that our pets give us that are in their little fur shell. And that's my belief. But what I love about animals is the biggest lesson they teach us, and they live in the now moment. They are so grateful for the now moment. They let go of what happened 5 minutes ago or yesterday. They're just focused on the real deal, like love, connection. I know most of your listeners, they have pets, they come home. Their pets are so glad to see them. They're so grateful to have them. They don't ask for anything but love and connection in the simplest forms.
And treats. And treats.
The treat first, then love and connection. They know they get love and connection, they get the treat. Yeah, right. You know that. They want to run, they want to bark, they want their treat. But the simplest, and we need food, water, and love.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Food, water, and love. But they connect on such a different level, and I believe pets are brought into our life to teach us various lessons. And my pets, I have three dogs, and each dog is different. Each dog teaches me something different. One's in the now moment. One is appreciation for small things. One's just gratitude. They all have different souls, even though they're all three dogs.
I love that. I raised a dog for Leader Dogs for the Blind. And so going through that process of raising this beautiful little soul and then having to give it away was a huge lesson for me And knowing that the person who got him would just, it changed his life dramatically. And he was able to go on and do wonderful things like, you know, finish college and get married and had a child. And, you know, so there's all these, you know, real things that when I experienced them with Oscar, who's my dog, and I still call him my dog, you know, it was like helping raise a child and then off they go into the world to make it a better place.
Love it.
And I just adore when little animals, you know, they look at you a certain way and they know you're sad, or they'll come over and put their head or curl up on your lap. They really can read your emotions, and we can learn a lot from them. This book, Why I Choose You, has been such an eye-opener for me, also with love relationships as well. And there's a lot of people that I know who their love relationships have failed and are having a hard time letting go of that because they don't understand the lesson of it ending in the first place.
Yeah. And you know what, that's common with the romantic relationships. What we discover, and I've coached so many people, women that knew walking down the aisle had that instinct that said, should I really be doing this? But they do it anyway. And I ask these women, I go, if you could do it all over again, would you do it differently? What would you do different? And they said, I'd still have to do it because I thought if I married that person or if I got into that relationship with that person, I could change them. If they saw the love that I could give them, that would change them. And I'd say, why would you want to change someone? You know, that's the question. Why? Answer the why. Why would you want to change someone? So romantic relationships, you know, some last a lifetime, but each relationship I've been in, and I'm sure you've experienced and your listeners have experienced, we've had a takeaway from it. We've learned something from that relationship.
Yeah.
The challenge comes in when you're angry and you want to blame that other person for the relationship not working, when maybe you entered into that relationship knowing it wasn't going to work anyway, but you went ahead anyway because we would do anything to be loved. People will do anything to have love and connection. And some of us will go down that path and we go, oh, why did I do that? Because I knew the outcome, but I wanted to feel loved. So we do have that experience. I think a great exercise for your listeners would be, you know, if you're in a current relationship, you know, take a piece of paper out and draw a line down the middle and write down, what do you really want from a relationship? What is it? Is it loyalty? Is it love and connection? Is it to grow with this person? Whatever that means to that person. And then think about the person you're with now. And do they have those game changers that mean something to you? If they don't, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. You choose. That's the greatest thing. You're choosing these people. So for this period, is that what you want? Or have you really gotten an awareness where it's like, you know what? I love that person deeply, but at this time, this isn't the person who I want to become.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with relationships not working. They, you know, some do and some don't. It's just, you've just got to be really clear on what you want in your relationships.
Yeah. So Why I Choose You, you can find out why you chose that love relationship. Understand why you choose those in your life. Lisa, it has been a pleasure having you here. We've come to the point where it's time for the RL3, which is our silly, goofy questions. Just really briefly, where can they get this book?
Okay. You can get the book at Amazon.com or BalboaPress.com. And then I also have a website, LisaThal.com.
And we will have that all up on our website as well. Here is question number one. If you could give all human beings one virtue, which would you choose?
One virtue. Love.
Well, of course.
Love. Love is in the air.
Yeah. Oh, you're every side and every sound. Okay. Look it up, people, if you don't know where that song is from. Also, number two, ask little Lisa, what is your favorite toy, little Lisa? What are you playing with right now? Your childhood Lisa, what toy was her favorite toy?
My favorite toy was my 10-speed bike.
Nice.
My 10-speed bike. I loved it. It was my favorite toy.
Do you have curved handlebars?
It's a big toy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Red, white, and blue. Had my little cards making a noise.
Way to
make
go,
the wheels
Lisa.
Sound it. I loved my bike.
And the third and final is your goofy, silly fantasy name, which is the first pet you ever had and the street you grew up on. So your fantasy name is what?
First pet. Hilda Sunlight Drive.
Oh, man. Hilda Sunlight Drive. I sound like someone who might start a meditation tape or something.
It's possible. You never know. Coming soon.
It is good. Well, the book is called Why I Choose You. Everybody, figure out why those are in your life. This is a great way to do it. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Appreciate it.